Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this afternoon or morning, stateside, we're joined by Jennifer Hammond, who is joining us all the way from Washington, D.C. in the USA. And Jennifer is a real estate expert and a property entrepreneur, we would know her as in the UK. And she is also a podcast host, a host with the mostest, I would say. So how are you doing today, Jennifer?
Yay! I am absolutely wonderful. And I'm so blessed to be with you, Mike. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I would say you're the host with the mostest.
Oh, well, thank you for that. So, it takes one to know one, I would say. So thank you for that. Obviously, we're in, similar space, I would say, as in I'm an entrepreneur, you're a property entrepreneur, and we both do podcast hosting, and we're both massive networkers and connectors. And although I don't do real estate at the moment, I do have a property maintenance business and a property management business. And at some point I will be getting into the property development space. So I would say we probably are very similar sort of people, especially having met you. I know that you're big into the yay, which is all about positivity, etc. And I'm all into, you know, positive mental attitude and having the right mindset and all of that as well. So yeah, we have a lot in common, and I'm looking forward to exploring some of that in this conversation, peeling back some of the layers of the onion and finding out what it is that makes you tick. So yes, this is going to be a great episode for everyone who's listening and watching. So like we said, you're a real estate entrepreneur and a podcast host. We'll delve first, I think, into the real estate side of things. Tell us a little bit about how you ended up getting into that and what you do now in that sector.
So it's so interesting because I went to the university all the way through a bachelor's and then a master's degree. And my master's is in public administration. And so I thought I would work in government for the rest of my life. And so I went to Washington, D.C., and I got a job working for a congressman. And I hated it. I was like, I don't think I'm really making a difference. Talk about being a cog in a wheel that was so big, but I was making no difference whatsoever. And I realized I'd walk up and down those halls and it wasn't making any kind of difference. And I realized that one of my core things is that I have to know that I'm making a difference in the world, that I'm making ripples of goodness are going out with whatever I'm doing. And so I walked across the street to in Washington, D.C., right across from where the House and the Senate office buildings are, is the Library of Congress. And I went into that room, and there's this beautiful gold dome room, and they call it the reading room in the Library of Congress. And there is a librarian in there who, as I was about to start into tears, because I have a master's degree, I have massive student debt, and I hate what I do. And I was like, what am I gonna do? And so we went through all of these different careers. And when I got to real estate, I was like, I love real estate. I love everything to do with real estate. And so from there, I started figuring out, I first became licensed as a real estate agent, especially back then, that was almost 24 years ago, you couldn't really get access to the listings. You couldn't find out what was for sale unless you were licensed. So first thing I did was get licensed. And then I started figuring out how to help my friends buy their very first property by getting a grant for their down payment, another grant for their closing costs. And then, like at that time, there was a very special program, actually it's still in existence today. For 5 years, you don't have to pay property taxes. So talk about it being less expensive than renting. And I was helping them build wealth. It was so much fun. I became addicted to helping people in real estate sales. So I've done that for many, many years, but it only took a couple years before I started learning how to flip properties. And that just became so exciting. And then of course, I have a Sirius XM radio show that I had for over 10 years where all I did was teach people. Because again, you don't really know something until you can teach it. And I love paying it forward and helping other people learn how to become wealthy. And even if nothing else, they learn how to, like for me, my very first flip, I made so much money on my first flip that I wiped out my entire student loan debt. And if I had stayed in the government job, unfortunately, I would still be trying to pay that off 20 years later. It would have been brutal. But I'm so excited because I have online courses. I teach real estate investing summits. I teach first-time home buyers. I still love helping first-time home buyers because that first step into real estate, whether it's just buying your own home or your very first real estate investment property, to me is the foundation of all the things that you can create. And then also my hope is that you'll pay it forward to your friends and your family and to the next generation so that we can continue erasing financial illiteracy and we'll help people understand how to create wealth with real estate. So I absolutely love helping people with real estate.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I love helping people with their business. So I'm all about how you create profit and sales and, you know, actually continued existence in entrepreneurship. Because a lot of people in entrepreneurship, they fail in the first 5 years because they don't know how to, build a business and do sales. And they think a business is just doing the thing that they do. But in most instances, it's the sales and marketing. That is why you succeed or fail. And most of them fail in the first 5 years. 90%, I think, fail in the first 5 years because they got no sales and marketing ability and they run out of cash flow or they struggle. And that's what I'm on a mission to do. I like helping people like yourself as well. And that's the reason why I podcast, so I can put all my knowledge and information online so people can access it whenever they want, when you're asleep, etc. And I get other guests on as well to share their knowledge and experience so that people can get inspired or they can get, some tips and some advice and all of that. So I'm always about helping people as well. And mine's just in the building business phase rather than the building property sector. So again, very, very similar as well. And I'm a big believer in everything you do anyway, all contributes and adds value to what you do. My guess is that degree, is that what you call it, a degree?
Yeah, my master's handy. Degree.
It's probably come in handy for you in the property development world in some way and at some points of your life, because I think everything that you learn and develop does come into sort of benefit. So is there a time where that knowledge and that information has come handy to you?
Well, it's funny because I used to, Mike, I think it's such a great question because when I used to say all of those degrees are useless and I never use them. And then as I've gotten a little bit older, I agree with you because like for public administration, one of the things that I've realized when you do real estate investing, you have to understand from the government's viewpoint what's happening. Like here's a great example. Recently, when the pandemic shut down Washington, DC, within I think it was probably a whole whopping week, the government said, except for essential workers can move about and everybody else is locked down, needs to stay at home. And real estate, everyone in real estate was immediately considered essential workers. And I was like, but we're not doctors or nurses. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute. From their viewpoint, the entire government will start, not the entire, but a huge majority of the budget in Washington, DC is real estate when people are buying and selling. So from their viewpoint, the first thing they were like, yeah, absolutely. You can do open houses. You can like, there were all sorts of things. You're like, no, we can't do that. But they wanted to make sure the real estate industry was continuing because real estate, that money from the buying, the selling, the property taxes is helping the schools. It's helping the streets. It's helping the government be funded. And so it is such an essential part. And so my master's in public administration, immediately I started figuring out all the different viewpoints that, and even the people that we needed to talk to for real estate investing, for any kind of real estate development, even as a first-time home buyer, when you're looking at what are the programs that are going to help that buyer, those are all things you need to look at it from the government's viewpoint and see how are they helping or where could you go in and talk to somebody and make that argument that you need to look at it from this way. Or like in Washington, D.C., they have special programs for firefighters, nurses, first responders, and it's wonderful. They have these, they call them workforce homes or different things, different programs that are out there. But again, if you don't know anything about it, and if you're not interacting with the government programs, you lose incredible opportunities that could really help somebody. So a long-winded way to answer your question. For many years, I was like, no, these degrees were just a big waste of time. And yet they were not. And my undergraduate is a pre-law degree and everything in real estate goes back to legal terms and Latin roots. And the more that I understand even legal concepts, I can explain those to a buyer, to a seller, to a real estate developer, and it helps them understand. And the more they understand it, the more able they are to go into action and have success. So yes, you're right, Mike.
Yeah,
it definitely helps.
I can guarantee I'm right, because I know how psychology works, and I know what being professional is, and I know what that type of degree and qualification would give you in difference in comparison to somebody without that sort of level of knowledge in the real estate world. Yeah, I know what a real estater, what a property developer without that sort of knowledge would look like. And I know what one with that sort of knowledge looks like. And I can see the difference, because, you know, it's only, you know, we do forget what we know sometimes and what we've learned, but it's only in certain situations does it come out. And I'm pretty sure when there's planning situations and like these pandemic situations, and there's certain situations where there's, you know, stuff that you're aware of because of your, you know, connection to civic life and duty, etc., that other property developers just wouldn't be aware of. And there would be people you would do trades with sometimes, where that extra little bit of knowledge that you know would be the sweetener on the deal between you and someone else. It would be the reason why someone would choose to use you to do a deal rather than somebody else who just doesn't have that little bit of knowledge that you have. And that's, you know, I know for certain that would be what's happening in your development world.
Absolutely. It definitely gives me an opportunity and a creative edge that others that don't, they're missing that part. So
yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Diversity is massive as well. You know, when, look, I've been lucky enough to change sectors quite a lot in my life as well. So diversity in sales and marketing is key, because otherwise you're a one-trick pony. Because people ask me all the time, what's the secret to sales and marketing success? And I say the secret is there's no secret. Yeah, you've got to try everything and do more of the stuff that works and less of the stuff that don't work, because every product, every service, every marketplace, every year, they're all different. Yeah. So, you know, so you can't just think of there's a magic formula to something, because Blockbuster's had a magic formula. It just ran out at some point. You know, you've got to keep adapting and moving with the time and keep trial and error and A-B testing and, you know, trying all of the different things. Because like years ago, how you would sell a book, would you get it in Waterstones or something? In a big bookstore, then Amazon come along. So then if you're teaching people how to publish a book, you're all of a sudden missing the way to publish a book unless you keep up to date with it all. And I guess real estate and the markets that you play in and the different developments that you do, that's always changing as well, because people's living habits change and people's choices and preferences change. And, you know, there are things that are on trend and things that are off trend. And unless you're keeping up to date with that, you're sometimes putting your money into a development that is now off trend, and people are looking at it going, that's so like 2020. You know what I mean? You've got to be keeping up to date with these things, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it's so important. I think that, like you said, the secret is there's no secret. I think the secret, from my viewpoint with real estate, is the secret is that, like you just said, everything is changing, and knowing that everything is changing is one of the keys. And the secret is being always creative and knowing whatever you did before, even if it was just the last deal, just most recently, it may not be the same secret or the same strategy that's going to be successful in this deal. But, and I used to use this analogy, if you go find across the pond, you find more of the older houses than we do in the United States. But even some of the old houses that we have here that we consider old, you know, 100, 200 years old, we go, and if you look at a window, and I used to always think about this, if you look at the glass in a window and you see how it's sagging, to me, that was one of those moments where you realize everything is in motion at different speeds. Like that glass was sagging over many, many years. It's not like I look at the glass in my window right now and I can see it moving, but you need to know that there's nothing that stays the same. Everything's going to change, and you need to be able to be, one, you have to have that attitude of gratitude. And I call it the yay attitude and being excited about moving forward in a creative direction in one way or another, whatever that is, so that you're not always just stuck trying to do the same thing over and over again and then finding you're not getting the results you want.
Yeah, definitely. And so it's like a lot of people have always asked me, what is a salesperson's biggest attribute? And a lot of people think it's like, you know, negotiation skills or drive or determination, all these things. And what I always say is it's the same as an entrepreneur's biggest attribute. It's the ability to be flexible and adapt. Yeah. I think it's human beings' biggest attribute. It's why we've evolved and why we continue to evolve. It's because everything is constantly changing and we have to be able to keep up.
Yep, I agree. And if we don't keep up, you know, it's like, what do they say? The slowest, the slowest animal is being chased by a wild animal in Africa. That's the one that's going to get eaten. You have to be the fastest, and you have to constantly know that that means you're going to have to shift and change and be easily ready to adapt to new circumstances. If you're running through the forest, all of a sudden there might be a hole or there might be a tree. And the same thing with any kind of business, real estate especially, you need to know that you think it's all going perfectly and then all of a sudden, whoops, there's a tree in the way and you're going to have to run this way or run that way. You're just going to have to adapt. If you don't adapt, it's going to be
gone.
Bad.
You're a goner. Like the dinosaurs, they didn't adapt. They're gone now. But you mentioned obviously you used to be a radio host, and obviously we touched upon it earlier that you're now a podcast host as well. Tell me a little bit about how you ended up going from real estate into radio, and also then the transition then into podcasting.
So it's actually kind of a funny story. I was much more shy than I am now. I've come out of my shell. But when I first had a client who was, or it still is, on Sirius XM radio, and we were in the middle of a transaction. And this is back in like 2008, 2009, when things were kind of getting dicey and the market was starting to go down. And again, like you just said, my background, having worked in different law firms, and I'd worked as a paralegal, a legal secretary, I had done title searches, which is, you know, the legal work, going back through to find out if there's any clouds or anything on the title. And so when people first started hearing the word short sale, most people didn't understand what that meant. And my buyer, who was a radio talk show host, wanted to purchase a property that was going through a short sale. And this was right at the beginning of when all these short sales were happening. And so there weren't standard documents, there weren't standard ways to handle it. And I knew for a fact that there were some big legal issues that could happen with this. And so I said to him, why don't we sit down and, like, I want to go through this with you. And so he said, absolutely, because we were just getting to the point where he was running out of what's called your contingencies, which are protections in the contract. And he was about to go into very dangerous waters, so to speak. And so I said to him, let's sit down and talk about it. And he said, my wife and I will buy you dinner. Don't worry about it. And we'll just ask you a bunch of questions. And I said, okay. We sat down in the restaurant. I said, this would be great. We ordered dinner. And then right as we went to ask the first question, he put his hand up and he said, don't say another word. And I was like, why? And he said, I need you to come into the radio station tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. and we're going to have this conversation live on the air, you know, in front of 40 plus million people. And I was like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I was like, because we're going to be talking about things that are kind of legal, they're personal. And then he started with, like, it was funny because he was like a dad figure to me. He was like, if I don't know this stuff, do you know how many people don't know this? Do you know how many people need to know this stuff? You can't keep this information to yourself, Jennifer. You can help millions of people. And he just, like, he's like yelling at me. And I was like, okay, all right, I'll come in. And then his wife was just shaking her head. She's laughing her head off. She thinks it's super funny because I'm like, I'm not comfortable in this ridiculous multi-million dollar studio. And so I was on the show with him, and he just kept having me come back. Okay, Jennifer. And then he would open the phone lines for all these people to call. Ask Jennifer. Just ask Jennifer. And I was like, and it was so funny because the answers just came to me really, really fast. And he says, how do you know all these answers? And I said, well, because what you just said, Mike, everything constantly changes. So if you don't know how to adjust to different situations, and no, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not licensed in all, you know, all the different states. I'm licensed in 3 states. I'm licensed in Virginia, DC, and Maryland. But I knew that I could help people, especially with principles of how to get out of situations. So I became a regular on his show for a couple of years. I was the real estate expert that he would bring in. Hey, Jennifer, we're having foreclosures now. It's not just short sales. Now we're having foreclosures. Let's talk about that. Then he would have me in when a congresswoman or a congressman was coming on the show. And oh my gosh, he would ask all sorts of questions. And he'd say, okay, I'm muting the congresswoman. Is she full of beep? And I was like, oh no, I cannot believe he just asked me that on live on the air. Long story short, I did that for a while. And then one day after I finished being on the air, he said, can you meet me outside the studio? I have something I need to talk to you about. It's really important. And I thought, oh no, did I say something I wasn't supposed to say? Am I in trouble? And it's SiriusXM. So, you know, we have Howard Stern, we have all sorts of things. I thought, oh my gosh, what did I do that I wasn't supposed to do? And he comes out, he sits down and he said, I know your mom died of cancer and I'm sorry to have to bring this up, but I just was diagnosed with cancer and I need your help. And my heart, it just hurt. I was like, yes. All I could say was yes. No idea what I just agreed to, but the answer is yes. And he said, so I need you to come in my show on Wednesdays and host my show while I'm in cancer treatment. I was like, okay. And again, I just said yes, and my heart was going 90 miles an hour. And I'm like, I don't know how to host a radio show. What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. So the funny part was, is again, he was in his cancer treatment and he would introduce me. And then it was, then I would just take all the live calls and do the whole thing. And then after he finished, you know, a couple months later, I did every Wednesday. I did a segment called Wealth Building Wednesdays. And then after I finished and he came back, he said, there's good news and there's bad news, Jennifer. And I was like, uh-oh. And he said, the good news is I'm cancer free. And I was like, yay, cancer free. That's great. And he said, bad news is you're fired. And I said, whoo, I'm excited. And he was like, why are you excited? And then he did the whole barking at me again. He said, people need to know this information. Why are you acting like you're excited that you don't have to do it anymore? And I was like, well, but I didn't really know what, you know, I'm like, I feel awkward on the radio. And he's like, what are you talking about? He said, they like you so much and you have such a huge audience now. He said, they want to give you your own radio show on SiriusXM. And I was like, oh, okay. All right, I'll do it. And I did it for over 10, we were just trying to figure, I was trying to add it up where my first contract, where I signed my first contract, I think it's almost 12 years ago now. But anyway, long story short, I just ended my last contract in November and I ended up transitioning over to podcasting. And of course now it's so much fun because I do the video podcast as well. And it's going out on all these different platforms with YouTube and now I love, 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 again, bringing information that helps people make good decisions in real estate. And that's how I got this reputation for saying, yay. And they literally clipped that yay. I didn't even know I was doing it. And then all of a sudden I find that there are other radio shows that have the Jennifer Hammond yay. When someone wins a contest or they're a first time.
Do you get royalties for that? Do you get royalties for that?
No.
you want to work that out? You want to trademark that yay?
I need like an agent. Get my Jennifer Hammond yay to get me royalties.
If golf is going to show their hands and stuff, singers their mouths and stuff, you've got to be able to ensure your yay. So that's a very interesting story, that, isn't it? That's how things can happen sometimes. If you turn up and you show up and you say yes or yay to things,
yeah,
then that's how things can happen. So I'm a big believer in turning up, showing up, and just giving value like you did for a long time, and saying yes to opportunities. As Richard Branson would say, screw it, just do it.
You know? Just do it, yeah.
Screw reference to screw the big rooms, screw the big rooms.
Yeah.
You know? Screw the big rooms, screw it, just do it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? And what's the best that can happen? Well, you could end up with yourself, you know, a big contract for, you know, working in a large organization. That's how things can happen. You know, if you show up and you give value, then people will enjoy that. And at some point that leads to a contract sometimes. So it's always worthwhile showing up and giving value.
And I love it because it's one of those things, like for me on radio, I love interacting with the audience and finding out what's on their minds. How can I help them? And then also that, you know, that yay kind of came out of, I was so excited because people would listen to me and then they would go and implement it. And then they would come back and call. And all that came out of me was so much joy. It just came out in that word. Yay! Because I was so excited for them. Yeah.
And if people are ringing up all the time saying, oh, thank you very much, I managed to do this and managed to do that, that's your reaction, isn't it? It's like, yay, well done. You took action and you did something with it, because, you know, knowledge and advice without action is nothing really, is it? It's just brain fodder.
Yeah.
You know, it's no good being in your brain. You need to apply it to the world and see the results of it.
Yeah, knowledge without action, it's just useless in so many ways. It doesn't do anything. We have to get into action. And I know that can be hard for people because they also have to break through that fear barrier too, of being afraid that, well, what if I make a mistake? Or like for me, I was one of the first women who was really becoming bigger and bigger in Washington, D.C. with flipping properties. And so for me, at first, I was so uncomfortable with it. I just would hide that I was doing it. I'd do it very covertly, just under the radar so that nobody really knew. And I just always talked about, oh, I'm a real estate agent, because I just didn't feel like, you know, I didn't want to be braggadocious about it or whatnot. And I realized that it's really important to continue to keep teaching and paying it forward and helping others. So again, they can press through that fear barrier that might prevent them from going into the doingness, because the knowingness is not enough. You have to go into the doingness.
Yeah, definitely. And how have you found the transition from being a radio host to being a podcast host? Because obviously you was part of a big organization and now, you know, I guess you're not so much, you know, and obviously radio is a slightly different dynamic than a podcast with like the call in and the guests and that sort of thing. So how has that transition gone for you?
Well, it's interesting because it happened right in the middle of this pandemic. And it is so interesting because I loved going in the studio and I loved the live audience and all I had to do was show up. And now I've learned how to create a studio at home or whatever home I'm in, whether I'm in a hotel room or whether I'm in Florida or if I'm in Washington, D.C. or Virginia, wherever I am, I can now create a studio on the fly. Like literally instantaneously, I can create one. And the technology has changed. But the other thing that's really a big difference between the podcast and like SiriusXM, I love SiriusXM. It was so much fun. But my father never listened in all those years because he didn't have a SiriusXM subscription. And one of the most amazing things was after I became a podcast host, he just downloaded it to his phone. And then he started listening to my podcast. And now I found that true with so many of my other friends. And I know with SiriusXM, you know, I have people that would listen in Australia or Dubai, and that was wonderful. But so many people who didn't have SiriusXM didn't have the ability to listen, and now they do. And so to me, that just brings me so much more joy that, strangely enough, we're actually now reaching even more millions of people across the globe. And that makes me so happy. Just like I love when I meet somebody and the first thing they say is, yay! I know they've been listening to me.
Brilliant. And so that was interesting, the transition. are you able to interact with the people on the podcast, or is that side of it gone now? How are you doing that?
So right now I'm doing that through social media and, you know, old school. I still do it through the emails, and I'll bring their questions up and answer their questions on the podcast. But for the most part, it's not live. And I do think that, you know, coming up when we get out of this pandemic, I think it's going to be cool to be able to have some of those features where I'll do more live stuff. But right now, again, I think we're also just trying to get all of our footing in how we can do it. So I feel like it's a slower communication in that it's emails and social media, but sometimes it's fast. Sometimes I can be on a podcast and I can see people start to respond when I'm doing a live going out to YouTube, or if a podcast is going out to Facebook Live or something like that. So it's different, but yeah, we're still interacting. As long as we're still communicating, it's like you just said, you have to learn to shift and change no matter what you're doing in life, because guess what? The only thing constant is change.
That's right, that's right. So what platform do you use for putting your podcasts on? Is that, do you use one of the big distributors or what?
I do. I use Lipsing, and they go out over Spotify, iTunes, like just dozens of different platforms. And then I'm also on a platform called Pod Nation, and that's where people see the video as well as, of course, YouTube. So those are pretty particularly wonderful.
I don't think I've heard of Pod Nation. I'll have to have a look at that one myself.
Go look at it. Yeah.
Because I think I use Anchor, I do. And they publish it to all the platforms as well, you know. But they allow you as well, and people can do a recording and recording, and then you can use that recording on your episode and respond to it as well. So that's why I was asking some of those questions. I'm always interested in finding out as much about podcasting, because I've only been doing it a year. How long have you been doing it? Similar sort of time as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a short time. It's less than that. It's actually 4 months. So it's been a short time. I was on the radio for over 10 years, even more than that. But podcasting is just a couple months. And so I'm still learning as well.
Yeah, I'm always looking to get as much information. Actually, we met on Clubhouse for all those listening and watching. And in the first couple of weeks on Clubhouse, I was in a podcast room every day on a stage giving my value. Even though I've only been podcasting for a year, I was a blogger for 15 years before that. And I dealt with all the sales and marketing and that type of questions. But I was on a stage with lots of other podcasters, including someone who'd been doing it for 12 years and is a genius. And I was learning so much every day whilst teaching, like, you know, and it was fantastic. So I've made some great contacts in the podcasting world. In fact, you know, two of them are amazing. And one of them's got his own radio show as well as podcast. And I think that's something you should look at as well, because I know you can put your podcast onto a radio show as well, and you can reach the two different markets then as well. So we've covered pretty much everything that you do. Have you got anything that you want to talk about with regards to the future, any future plans or anything else you want to mention that we haven't covered yet?
So, you know, I have some online classes. And so if people go to the jenniferjhammond.com, you can learn all about my online classes. So I love teaching first-time home buyers. I love teaching real estate investors. But one of the other things I love to do is I do like teaching podcasters. And I do have a course on how to get booked on podcasts, how to be a good guest on podcasts, how to get yourself asked back for podcasts again and again and again. And so I'm always putting up new stuff. So if you just, you know, follow my name, jenniferjhammond.com. People think the J is me going, yay, but it's really J like Jennifer, jenniferjhammond.com. And I just, you know, oh, and I have the book. That's the other thing. I have a couple books out in my, the books that I really, that I dedicated at the beginning of publishing books out was books about veterans. I always love helping veterans. And it's becoming entrepreneurs or buying their house. So I have a book entitled 101 Plus Resources for Veterans. And that's because there's way more than 101 resources in there. And then I also have a credit book out, and then, you know, how to buy your first house book. So I have a bunch of books out, and I love, love, love helping people with just whatever part they need to get to do a little bit better and put more ripples, pay it forward in real estate, podcasting, whatever they do in the world. So Mike, thank you for having me. I love being here with you.
No problem. Well, that real estate, I was going to ask you about that, but you obviously have volunteered that information. But at some point, I'd love to get you back on as a guest, you know, so we can talk a little bit more about your courses for how to be a good guest, because that's something I'd like to explore further. And also to talk a little bit more about what you do for veterans and that sort of thing, because I know that's something which is close to your heart as well. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to sort of put a bit more time into that. And obviously my podcast interviews are networking follow-ups. So we met each other networking and connecting, and then a follow-up, which is why I like to do a first sort of like a bit more of a detailed dive into someone's history, etc. So you get to really understand who the person is. And then I like to do a bit of a deep dive onto some of their subject areas, et cetera. Obviously, we've covered real estate in this one and a bit of podcasting, et cetera. But the guest stuff and the veterans, I think, is something we can do for a part two. So, yeah, watch this space, guys. I'm definitely going to hook Jennifer up with that one. And, because my interesting guests, I like to have back to be able to explore further into some of the things they do, especially when they do a lot of stuff like you do, Jennifer. So thank you very much for now, for coming on the podcast and for sharing your knowledge and your information and your wisdom and your yays.
Yay! And Mike, I want to say I just appreciate all that you've done. I met you in Clubhouse and you were one of the first people that really made me feel welcome. And that's a talent that is so special. And it really, it warms my heart because I know it comes from a really honest place where, you know, sometimes, again, we're meeting in a virtual kind of place in this Clubhouse app. And now we're getting to do podcasts together. And I'm so grateful to have your friendship. And thank you for all that you've done to help me and make me feel welcome in that Clubhouse world. But also thank you for having me a guest on your podcast. Yay!
No problem. And I don't know what it is about Washington, D.C., and especially the Maryland area, but I've had about maybe 70 guests on my podcast, and probably 25, 30 of them have come from that area. So I don't know what it is with me that resonates to people from that area, or what it is with people from that area about getting on podcasts around the world. But there's something, in it, because the disproportionate nature of people coming from one particular, you know, sort of group of states, really. I think they call it a trisector, don't they? Yeah, the Maryland, Victoria, Washington, D.C. sector.
We call it the DMV. D.C., DMV. So Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. DMV.
Okay. The DMV area, which is where you actually operate from as well. So if I'm right in thinking, you're not in Maryland, you're in D.C., but you cover that area.
I mean, actually, and my house is actually in Virginia, in Arlington. Okay. It's right by Arlington National Cemetery. Yeah. And so, but I spent a lot of time in Florida too. I grew up in Florida. And so.
Well, I've been thinking about potentially moving to America because I want to make it big in America. Yay! And I think you have to go there. So at some point, and I've always wanted to go to Miami because I quite like the idea of Florida and the sun, and I, you know, I quite like that. But you know, maybe I should end up in the DMV area, because it seems to be everyone I get on my podcast and the people I seem to connect with seem to be in that area. So maybe something's telling me I got to get into U.S. politics. I don't know.
Well, you have to get in there and come visit, and we'll take you around. I'll take you around, show you all around D.C.
Yeah, definitely. Well, some of the builders you were talking about earlier about, you know, your the library and stuff like that. I bet there's some magnificent buildings.
Oh, my gosh. Just, the library.
That's just not a normal library. That's a bit of a plush library. You was in there looking for some books, you know.
Yeah. Library of Congress. And the Library of Congress is funny. It's so special. It's not one building. It's multiple buildings. And they are beautiful, aesthetically beautiful, with so many books. If you like books, it is just like heaven in there.
I bet there's a lot of historic books in there as well.
Yes. Very historic, special books, rare books, out of print books. It is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, like I said, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. If we get into a conversation again, we'll be talking all day.
Cause I know.
I know we both, you know, could easily have a chat all day. But, yeah, I'll keep the listeners. I try and keep it down to about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. I have had some. I think my longest been about 2 hours. And I've been on a two-hour episode myself. But that was my life story. So, you know. But anyway, it's been great having you, and I love joining your yay room in Clubhouse. That's on a Thursday afternoon, or well, actually evening time, 8 o'clock in the evening UK time, which means it's probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern, in the afternoon Eastern. Although that would change as well, the time difference changes in a bit soon. But anyway, thank you very much. It's been awesome, and I look forward to the next time.
Yay! Thank you, Mike.